pushing buttons and pulling triggers. This is Gun Funny.
Welcome to Gun Funny episode 343. Today I'm going to chat with Joe Elson from Align Tactical, discuss a new bill to ban ammo sales under 21 in Hawaii, highlight a new brace from SB Tactical, and talk about gun control advocates plagiarizing female shooters. I am your host, Ava Flanell. Joel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Ava. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. All right. So before we get into it, I want to talk about IWI real quick. I'm sure you're familiar with their stuff. I mean, at this point, I feel like who isn't, yeah. Unless you're not in the gun industry. If you guys haven't checked out the Carmel yet, Carmel, it's one of my favorite guns. It's awesome. It shoots so well. It's a short stroke gas piston rifle with a locking rotating bolt system for maximum safety and reliability. It comes with an M-Lock 4-in that you can install accessories at the 3, 6, and 9 position. It has a cold hammer forged chrome line 16-inch free-floated barrel for accuracy and long life. It has a full length top rail. The side charging handle is reversible and you could do it very quickly. And then it has a side folding stock with variable lengths of pull and adjustable cheek riser. It also has a 2-position gas regulator for normal and suppressed. Best of all, they're already shipping and available, so keep your eyes out for one. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about that gun or find anything in their web store, which they have all kinds of stuff, not just necessarily IWI related, but they, you know, are selling, I guess, some of their favorite brand stuff. And you can get a hell of a deal when you use GunFunny15, all one word. You'll get 15% off your entire order. And that is IWI.us.
Learn the things you never knew on Deconstructing the Industry.
Joel, it's so great to have you on. I just recently started checking out your products and installed some of your stuff on my guns. But for anybody who may not be familiar with Align Tactical, what is it that the company does?
So Align Tactical manufactures performance components for firearms. And what sets us apart is that we bring competition level performance into a duty carry footprint. So whereas you see the benefits and speed and control for recoil mitigation, usually, historically, it's all been very large products. You know, you have thumb rests, which have been around for decades, but they usually tend to be very large. You need to have very specialized holsters. It puts you in open class divisions, usually. The extended mag releases will be so large that they can accidentally drop mags when you're putting it into the regular holster, things like that. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is make everything kind of as low of a profile as possible, but still giving you that performance.
Yeah, awesome. So I am definitely a big fan of your guys' products. And like I said, I've installed it on a few of my guns and works really well. Before we start getting into all of your product line and stuff like that, I just want a little bit of history as to how you got in the industry and how you started Align Tactical.
Yeah, well, so that comes down to basically a long background and with military and firearms. Going back to my grandfather, I mean, he started out actually importing about 70. It was the entire RAF, the Royal Air Force for the Canadian Air Force, mm-hmm. P-51 Mustangs. So he was bringing in all these P-51 Mustangs into the country, was collecting firearms, everything from Class 3 stuff to, you know, the just anything that he could get his hands on military-wise. So, you know, kind of similar backgrounds with, you know, people who we know that are really into things, a bit of collectors. And he was even bringing in, going to David Montham and the scrapyard where they carry all the old military aircraft that are decommissioned and was buying up like B-17s and B-25s and, like, you know, just different bombers and everything. So really strong military background. And then, of course, my father after that had gone into, it was a combat vet in Vietnam with a door gunner. So he was really big into guns. And while unfortunately I didn't get to serve myself because I was from a very early age told that, you know, the horrors of war I need to be protected from and shielded from. I've always had that the part of me that wanted to be able to give back and really enjoyed firearms and know the importance of it. You know, when you look at history, you just, there's no one else that's going to be able to take care of you at the end of the day when things really go wrong. So anyway, that's just kind of the segue into that. But as far as the company goes, I'd spent a couple decades in the tech industry, actually, and was doing a lot of product development and project management, various things. After getting laid off one too many times, I've had enough of it. When I was at home, I was designing a product that was entered into the what was it called? The X-Tech search, basically. It's a military competition to look for new technologies. And I had submitted something that was gaining a lot of traction and interest and went out, spoke to Army Acquisitions at Fort Belvoir and right outside Washington, D.C., and was working on some more advanced products. But the cost of it, everything, trying to get that to market was becoming prohibitively expensive. Mm-hmm. So that got me down to, you know what? I'm just going to start with something simple. I mean, if I can make, you know, a simple part, then that'll get me into the industry. Since, you know, there's so much good feedback from the things that I was doing. And yeah, part of me doesn't want to be long-winded, but I know we have, like, you know, half an hour or so to talk. So
I
guess
absolutely.
I'll just give you some material.
Yeah, absolutely.
but really the genesis of everything was because, and where it ties into all the background with the military and all the stuff that my grandfather and father had been into is that they were big collectors. And at some point I was overwhelmed. I mean, I had, you know, been using everything under the sun. It was just too much of a collection. They had way too much stuff. It was overwhelming, basically.
So you're saying you became a hoarder.
Exactly. So, you know, it was a bad hoarding situation. Mm-hmm. So what that came from is that adage that I kept hearing from my dad, which was, you know, one is none, two is one. So whatever you have, you might as well have a million of them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that kind of was a bit much. And then after they had passed, it was a matter of, you know, my grandfather had given away his collection to a museum, in Tomball. That stuff had was pared down. And then my father's collection, it was just one of those things that I started to, like I said, become overwhelmed. And I started thinking of another adage, which is beware of the man with only one rifle, for he knows how to use it. And so I started just completely liquidating, you know, all that collection and looking really from the products that we have today, what are the best ones? And I would look for any excuse whatsoever to get rid of it. Like, oh, you know, this is rubbing my finger the wrong way, or, you know, ergonomics on this, or this one's better. Like, you know, if it was something that was becoming a safe queen, I just got rid of it. Mm-hmm. So then I ended up with really only just a couple pistols, and one of them being the SIG P320. And I was, you know, really enamored with it. The one thing I didn't like, though, was the mag release, because it was a triangular shaped release. And what was happening is I was always gripping very high up on the pistol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you look at like Robert Vogel, he has videos where he's talking about how high he gets up on the Glock, and you know, to the point where it, you know, the web of his hand is spilling over the beaver tail, and he gets slide bites. But that little bit of extra, you know, height is what he does, and he kind of really squeezes the pistol into his hand by getting you know, like the undercut portion as high as he can, you know, his hand under the undercut mm-hmm. of the trigger guard and everything. So when I was doing that with the P320, it kept rubbing my finger raw, my middle finger, because that bottom triangular shape release was just, it shouldn't be there, especially after I've been shooting like P226s. The mag release is so much higher there, so it doesn't interfere that undercut, which everyone's always trying to get, you know, Glocks. You see people trying to remove any yeah. hint of Glock knuckle by Dremeling and making that undercut higher so you can get that higher grip, that higher purchase. So one day, you know, being unemployed, sitting at home, I thought, you know what? I've had it with this mag release. This would be like the perfect pistol if that was not there. Mm-hmm. So I took a Dremel and I just ground it in half, and I just made the bottom half of it flush. And I gripped it in my hand, and it's like, wow, this doesn't rub me anymore. Like, this feels really good, until I pressed the button. And when I try to drop a mag, now you just have this small little nub, and you know, it's kind of like someone jabbing a finger into you, you know, versus resting their hand and pushing on you. You know, it was just focusing the pressure. And so I thought, well, I need to add material since I've taken it away. Where can I put it? You know, I just raised it up. So now it looked more like where the mag release would be on, say, a 226. Mm-hmm. And as I started to use that, you know, after like welding on that little bit of a pad higher up, it's like, wow, this is fantastic. And, you know, I've used paddle mags in the past, and I know that usually you have to make them so much higher because you have to have that rearward paddle clear the width of the grip. And because of that, sometimes if you're really squeezing your grip together and doing a vice grip, you can accidentally drop that mag because it's pressing into the palm of your hand. Well, by making it raised slightly and it's going up a bit more, it's designed to kind of contour along that leading edge of the grip. And so when you fully depress the mag release, it's just a hair above flush with the rest of the you know, thick part of the grip. And that solves so many problems. And after dozens and dozens of prototypes of designing and then 3D printing and trying all these different things until I got, you know, just the perfect one where it nestled in the crease of the hand, it didn't drop mags, it was perfect, and you know, with the ergonomics as far as all these things, that's when it was time to really step up and say, you know what, I'm going to make this a product. And being unemployed with a couple kids and a mortgage and everything else, it took a lot of courage to definitely make that first step, because you're spending, you know, the price of a car on tooling something up, and you're hoping you have everything right, and you're losing sleep, and you're just hoping that, you know, this product's going to work. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing was is setting my goals, you know, my bar very low. Like, for me, I considered it a success if I could hold a product in my hand that I had made that was packaged. So that was a low bar of success. Then the next success was, if I sell it to one person, if I make one sale, that's a success. And it was just really kind of building off of that. And coming into the industry, it's, you know, nobody knows you. Nobody really cares if you're a one-trick pony. You know, mm-hmm. you have to really keep pushing. And it was a struggle. You know, the first year was a struggle to just get something out there that was different and try to show what set it apart. But that kind of set everything in motion for the other products, because every product that we make, it is something that's unique. So it's not just another floor plate that's in a different color or with a different design, or, you know, it's something that solves a problem. And then after having thought like the CZ TSOs and seeing how great of a grip you could get with having a thumb rest on there, I really wanted to bring that over to the P320 as well. So then it was a matter of, you know, just creating that. But one of the problems that I've seen with so many people in the industry when they make thumb rests is it seems like the ergonomics or position of it's an afterthought, because they're like thumb is bending and they're pressing it in with the tip of their finger, or they're hitchhiking. You know, whenever I'm shooting, you know, that's not the typical grip with people, you know, hitchhiking with their thumbs in the air, things like this. You know, the ergonomics of, if you don't have anything on a pistol, it's the thumbs forward grip, which is so popular. So the thumbs forward combat grip, you know, your support hand is positioned forward, and, you know, the thumb is usually going alongside the frame. And, you know, it's a great position when you have a weapons light, you just flick your thumb down and all that. So when I was holding a pistol, I would just have someone else keep positioning like an index card under my thumb. It's like, okay, let's mark it. And after just drawing, you know, hundreds of times and marking it, and making sure there was some consistency there, that's where the ergonomics really kind of evolved. So everything about it is really designed to give you that extra performance, to give you a mag release that you can drop mags without having that little shift in your hand where you just kind of flip the pistol to get that extra leverage, you know, to push in,
yeah.
You know, so instead you can just, you know, with that established firing grip, just drop the mag, you know, just use the side of your thumb, push it in, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to take a quick break real quick, talk about gaiters. If you guys haven't checked out gaiters yet, sure, Definitely do so. Do your eyes a favor. All gaiter lenses are safety rated, so they're good for shooting, but they also look great off the range too. They also have the mil-spec ballistic lens. They're rated to take a hit from a 15 caliber projectile at 700 feet per second without cracking. Pretty incredible. So if you really want to make sure that you're protecting your eyes on the range, which everyone should do, so don't go with those cheap plastic ones, but get something that is superior. And gaiters and superior definitely go hand in hand. Check it out, gaiters.com/Ava15. And if you use that URL, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. Let's talk about, I guess, the thumb rest. So if anybody is interested, we just talked about the extended mag release, which is a really great design, super creative. It definitely moves it just enough where it is, you know, definitely going to make a difference. But then that thumb rest, that was pretty ingenious, because it doesn't take much to install that little piece. And yet it is, you know, by just indexing your thumb on that piece where it comes out, essentially where, you know, like where the takedown lever is, or depending on what firearm you're using, it makes a world of difference on absorbing that recoil and handling it so that your gun's just not, you know, flipping up every different direction. But tell me how you came up with that design, because you're essentially replacing that locking block pin or takedown lever in place of this, which I thought was genius.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So one of the things was just, you know, branching from the TSO, which, you know, they have bolted it into the frame. So, you know, they're screwing that directly in. And I've seen a lot of people, you know, in open class where they're taking their Glocks or anything else and they're drilling holes in their frames and they're screwing it in. And I wanted something that was going to be able to easily transition, that wasn't destructive of the firearm. And when looking at the thumb rest, the great thing about the design of the P320, starting out with that one, is that it has a little peg on it, and it's a anti-rotation stop. So you can only rotate the lever in a clockwise manner. You can't go counterclockwise. Well, considering that every time I was indexing it, you know, I would usually typically use my thumb and rest it on the top edge of the takedown lever. And for people who forgot or weren't aware of the very first P320s that came out, the first generation of 320s, they had a different takedown lever than they do today. They had one that was serrated at an angle, and it really gave you more purchase to put your thumb on. And that first generation, it stuck out, you know, quite a bit. And I really love that takedown lever. So when they started to make the very flat ones that they have today, I was scrambling to find any more of those first generation levers and get those. But it didn't give me as much of a purchase as if I had a ledge, like I said, on a dedicated, like a CZ or something. So that was just a matter of my thumb was always going in this one place, indexing it, you know, mocking up, making a ton of prototypes, going and, you know, working to get the patents on all the different stuff. And then, you know, boom, before you know it, it's like, you know, this feels great. And the nice thing about the position of it is that it's the thumb rest, the angle of it, it's forward, closer to the muzzle of the center rotation, which means when you bear down on it, you're pushing that little peg on the inside of the takedown lever into that channel on the 320. So it's locked in place. You're not going to have any movement. Whereas like the first generation of products, like the first gen takedown levers that, like I said, were more robust, kind of stuck out quite a bit more. If you were to push any on the flag portion of it that's sticking rearward, then that could cause a malfunction or possibly have the pistol. Well, not that it would necessarily disassemble, but you know, you're starting to do the process of that. So that just turned out to be a great design. And then the very next one after that was that shared a similar design, which had the a stop built in, was the VP9. So that one also was able to have that same design where the pressure is pushing the rotation into the stop and there's zero movement. But the great thing about the thumb rests, and this is what people are astounded to, you know, when they first try it, is that when you have new shooters, when you have people that are, you know, starting out shooting, they don't really know how to grip the pistol. You know, they're teacupping it, their support hand doesn't have a lot of strength. They're not used to like vising and bearing down on it. So their hand is just kind of willy-nilly, usually for the support hand. The firing hand, that's easy enough. You know, get as high up on the beaver tail as you can and just get a good grip. But the support hand's always been a bit of a challenge for new shooters. But this creates an index point. So all you do is just tell them, put your thumb right there on the pad, like you would a fingerprint reader or something. Just, you know, just put your thumb there. And it's got some traction. They can feel it. And when they start drawing and they're building up speed, they have that consistency of an index point. And that's one of the things that, like, Isaac Lockwood, who's a grandmaster, USPSA national shooter that won a couple years back the build drill, which is just pure speed. I mean, this guy, he's so fast. He draws out of the holster. You know, when he hears the beep and there's five shots A zone on target within a second, you know, less than a second. I mean, guy's phenomenal. And he's put it on all of his pistols. He's running it, you know, more rounds through it than anyone. And, you know, fantastic guy. And he really, you know, emphasizes how that index point, you know, at speed, I mean, mm-hmm. just phenomenal. And he also has a unique way of how he's applying pressure to it, which is he's squeezing it down. So he's squeezing the bottom side of the trigger guard with one finger while pinching with his thumb down, you know, so he's just kind of like squeezing the pistol. And he says it removes just pretty much any recoil impulse at that point, as far as having the sights lift. So super fast. I mean, just incredible speed.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is just, and one of the biggest benefits is that support hand. When you look at it, I mean, you're not really grabbing anything on the pistol except, you know, usually a sweaty, you know, main hand, you know, like your firing grip. So from that one, you know, if it's sweaty, you're slipping. You see this a lot with micro pistols when people were shooting small pistols where you fire around and then their hand just kind of like re-squeezes, you know, support hand just keeps re-squeezing to kind of reestablish that grip because it slips a little bit out of its index.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take another quick break. Talk about Mantis. If you haven't checked out the Laser Academy from Mantis, definitely recommend it. The Laser Academy gives you everything you need to practice with a smartphone app and improve your skills without the cost of ammo. You can get this entire kit, which includes a carrying case, two tripods, a target stand, all of that for $150, or you could just get the portable kit for just $99, which both will greatly improve your shooting, and it is well worth the cost. It currently has 14 modes, including dual modes for friendly competition and more in development. So definitely check it out, MantisX.com. All right, so Joel, wrapping this up, are there any future plans that you can share with the listeners, any future products that you guys are coming out with or any of that good stuff?
Yes. Yeah, so the product line right now we have, you know, we have for Sig Sauer, Sig actually carries our products on their website. We have H&K as mentioned, H&K sells directly on their website as well as dozens of our distributors, but we also have for the Canic, as you've tested, and then also Glock, which is, you know, a unique new product. The Glock thumb rest replaces the trigger pin, and it makes use of the little takedown area, that space underneath the slide lock, and it just presses in, and then you back it out just a hair, and you can take down the pistol as usual and then push it back in. It's retained in place with a couple of grooves. But we're continuing to expand. So we also are just now looking at, we received from Coding today, actually, our new Smith & Wesson takedown lever. So nice. Really excited about that. And again, that just really gives you such a great purchase on the firearm because it's like a lever. I mean, if you're able to hold the front of, you know, more forward of the center of gravity or rotation, I should say, of that recoil impulse, if you're able to bear down on it and your thumb being such a strong, basically, you know, digit on your hand, you know, you just lock that down and then you have really great resistance because mm-hmm. as mentioned, you're just grabbing your other hand. If it's sweaty, if it's hot, you know, all you have is that traction on the palm of your hand. Support hand really has to do a lot of work, but it doesn't have a lot to go on. So that's where that thumb rest really comes in place.
Yeah.
And then again, with the other products, you know, we do have a Magwell, and the thing that sets that apart for the P320 is it's the only one that's really universal, being that you can keep the regular 17 round floor plate that comes with the pistol and just, you know, use those factory mags. You don't have to get the Legion mags. You don't have to get the 21 round mags or, you know, change the floor plates. You can use all your mags that are Sig OEM.
Okay, so perfect. All right, awesome. Well, if anybody wants to check this out or get any of these products, head on over to aligntactical.com. And then if you scroll to the bottom of the page, you will see there's links for Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And then there's also install videos too. If you guys are like, this sounds awesome, but I'm too scared to change it out, totally understand. But the install videos are incredibly helpful. All right. Moving forward with the rest of the show, Caldwell. If you guys are looking for some like cool targets, definitely check out the Caldwell orange peel targets. They're some of my favorites and I use them when I'm teaching, especially because you can't always see your hits on just regular paper targets. So they have like an adhesive back. So all you do is just like peel and stick them to the backstop or cardboard. They also have this dual color flake off technology that makes spotting your hits effortless. They're especially handy for shooting long range since it's on a normal target that you'd often couldn't see the holes in. Or like I said, even if you're just shooting like a regular paper target, depending on the color, it's hard to see those hits or even with 22s. Check it out. They have a bunch of different sizes, lots of different shapes, all of that good stuff. And it starts from $5.99 and goes up. But you won't have to pay full price because you could use the code GUNFUNNY10, all one word, and that's going to get you 10% off. And that is CaldwellShooting.com. Today,
you know, I got to say, I just used their targets yesterday. And it's great because I can throw them easily into a backpack.
Yeah.
Because it's a much smaller footprint and, yeah, great visibility.
Absolutely.
Politics. What is going on in the world today? It's political AF.
Today in politics, Hawaii moves to ban ammo for under 21. Democrats in the Aloha State are in the final stages of passing a law to raise the minimum age for purchasing ammo to 21. On April Fool's Day, which they were not fooling, the Hawaii State House voted with only 5 reps voting against the measure. The measure previously passed the state Senate 22-3. The entire state legislature only contains 8 Republicans, so they never really had a chance of stopping it, unfortunately. The bill now goes to conference to settle differences between the versions passed in each chamber, but it's bad news for anyone under 21. The bill bans not only purchase of ammo for anyone under 21, requiring retailers to check ID, but also makes it a crime for adults under 21 to own, possess, or control ammunition, which is ridiculous. Retailers will be held criminally liable if they sell to anyone under 21. There's a vague exception for those under 21, which is actively engaged in hunting or target shooting or going to or from a place of hunting or target shooting. But vague exceptions in firearm laws in Hawaii have a history of unjust persecution for gun owners. It also creates a new felony offense for anyone under 21 in control or possession of a firearm. That means young adults are categorically banned from carrying firearms for self-defense, something that has been ruled unconstitutional in other district courts already and clearly violates the precepts of Bruin. With the unstoppable majority in both houses and an anti-gun governor, it's sure to pass, but it's ripe for immediate challenge in court. Unfortunately, this takes years, though, to ultimately decide in court when they know it violates the Constitution. And unfortunately, we are seeing this in so many states. Even just now, as I was talking to you, I got a text message that the assault weapons ban bill in Colorado just got a Senate sponsor, which sucks. So it's going forward now to the next step. But I mean, we are just constantly getting bombarded with all these anti-gun bills that eventually become laws because unfortunately we're outnumbered in so many states and Democrats are making up the majority. And so it's really hard to fight against a lot of this stuff, which, I mean, I've said this before, but people really need to pay attention to who they're voting for, not just at a national level, but at a local level. Because at this point, this is the reason why we have, you know, it's really hard to fight this. And unfortunately, when it does go to court, I mean, it's going to take years for this to go to court and get overturned. And they know that. And I think that's part of their plan.
Yeah.
This segment is brought to you from Rose by Sig Sauer.
I'm here with Kathy Horovitz. She attended the Chicago retreat, and she told us about her experience and her reason for wanting to get a firearm. And then she eventually got the Sig Rose as well. If you guys want to listen to that, listen to the last two segments. But moving on with the very last segment of the interview, I have to know, have you kept in touch with anyone from the retreat?
Oh, yes. You know, I wanted to get to know everybody, mm-hmm. but they kept us so busy. So just know that about a Rose retreat. You need to be eating your Wheaties because you're going to be going from early morning till late, and you will sleep well.
Yeah.
But, you know, because they have every second of every minute planned. So you're just running constantly. You're going from one activity to the next, to the next, to the next. But it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to know a few people because most of the time you're taking it all in.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's plenty of time to socialize, but there's so many women and also the staff from SIG. They've got such an incredible group that have created this whole fantasy of the Rose Retreat. So getting to know them and getting to know some of the women that, you know, showed up at the retreat, hearing their stories. Everybody has such profound stories for being there. Mm-hmm. And we have a group text from some of the women that became closest with, and we'll fire up a text, group text every now and again, you know, when we see a funny gun meme or something. Mm,
that's great.
we'll shoot it around. And, mm-hmm. you know, when the Boca retreat came up for availability, I signed up, and I know a friend from the Chicago retreat, she also signed up, but I'm not sure she's going to be able to make it because of family issues. But, you know, we all want to go again.
Wow. That's incredible that you guys, you know, you just returned from this Chicago retreat. You see that there's one taking place in Boca Raton, Florida, and you're like, we're jumping on this. Like, you just honestly can't get enough. And rightfully so. I know when I went to the Nashville retreat, I was just like, that was amazing. They treat you so well. It's packed with so much education, and you just have a wonderful experience that it's like, how could you not want to relive that?
But so much fun. And it's, you know, the shooting was a small part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was, for us, there was bocce ball, bowling, trivia games, you know, it just, the fashion show, every bit of it, you're just smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah.
There was one of the Rose Retreat Instagram video clips that they ran. They interviewed me. My voice was so shot from screaming in bocce ball that, I said, wow, I sound like I'm 100 years old. But it was nonstop fun.
Yeah.
There are definitely connections made for life.
Absolutely. So I have to ask, for anyone who, you know, you mentioned in the first episode that you're a senior. So for anyone who might be a little bit older and might be on the fence about going because they're like, oh, I'm going to be the only one who's older than all of these younger women attending. What would you say to that?
Oh, go for it. You know, life is short.
Yeah.
It lit me up so much, the retreat. It just put wind in my sails, and my mind was exploding as I left the retreat. And I made a statement when they were interviewing me, you know, I started laughing at the end of describing the fashion show and the venue that, you know, it was like walking into a wedding. And then I started giggling and said, I can't go home now. This is too much fun.
Yeah.
This is over the top. They did not miss one detail on just rolling out that red carpet. I've never been treated that way in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And go for it again.
Very nice. I love it. Well, thank you, Kathy, so much for sharing your experience and your story with us. Hopefully I can interview you after the Boca Raton trip, because they said this one's supposed to be bougie, which really blows my mind, because the Nashville one was like over the top, super bougie. So I'm like, okay, when they're saying bougie, I'm like, I can only imagine. So I'm really excited to hear how this one goes. Again, thank you so much. If anyone is interested in finding out more about the events taking place, or even, you know, just purchasing the Sig Rose, head on over to sigsauer.com/rose. And then also don't forget to join the Rose Community Facebook group. Ladies, there is so much fun and so much education in that group. Everyone's just sharing with each other as far as like, you know, how to conceal carry or what's going on in their state, or lots of women have taken it upon themselves to have little meetups, you know, depending on who's close to them. And it's just become like a really great community. So I highly recommend that as well. Kathy, thank you again. I do appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I can't say enough good things about it. And I hope everybody gets to experience Lena Michalak in some way, somehow. Do it. Whatever they offer that is in your area, even if it's not the retreat. She does standalone events. Get there. You will be happy you did.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you.
Tactic Talk. Discussing popular guns and gear. Love it? Hate it? Find out now.
Tactic Talk. Braces are back. With the multiple injunctions in place against the ATF's brace rule, including a nationwide one, SB Tactical recently introduced their first new brace in several years, which I'm really happy to see them back. They were a sponsor of the show for so many years. And unfortunately, with all of the lawsuits and stuff, they just couldn't continue to, you know, support the show. So it's really good to see that they're back in business. So the new SB-A5 is a new adjustable brace, which is kind of like their original SB-15. And SBA4, say if they had a baby. It's a 5 position adjustable like the SBA4, but the overall shape is shorter and has a wider rear surface area and arm cuff like the original SB15. That's probably a response to ATF's BS about rear surface area when they were making up the rules for the new enjoined brace rule. It has the adjustment lever in front of the flaps and has a pretty nice ergonomic look to it. It's compatible with all AR mil-spec carbine buffer tubes or other guns with those installed. It has ambidextrous QD sling sockets and is 6.2 inches overall for the brace and weighs only 9 ounces. They're available in black and FD, and MSRP is only $125, which is pretty affordable considering, you know, we saw it for a lot more, you know, a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So I definitely am going to be checking it out, but hats off to SB Tactical for one, fighting the good fight, but also, you know, still being in business and coming up with more braces and, you know, so that people don't have to file that ridiculous, you know, SBR tax stamp BS.
Exactly.
Because that in itself is ridiculous.
Agreed.
Smith and Wesson. This is perfect for you, Smith and Wesson. I mean, they are, I gotta say, I'm a huge fan of their M&P line, the M&P handguns. No. They're some of my favorites to shoot, and I definitely need to get some of the thumb rests once you come out with that, because I think that's going to be a game changer. In addition to that, they also have their M&P 5.7, and I just realized that now they have a two-tone, which is black and FDE, with or without the safety, and it looks beautiful. If you guys haven't checked out the 5.7, first of all, I think it's great because 5.7, it's a pretty good cartridge, but due to its size, and I mean, you could hold a lot more rounds in the magazine, has very little recoil, and it shoots well, and it still does quite a bit of damage. So it's really a good I'd say it's a good gun for self-defense. But because of their whole like new tempo barrel as a two-part internal rotary lock system where the barrel doesn't move until the bullet's out, like almost completely out of the barrel. And as a result, it reduces recoil immensely. Well, check it out, smith-wesson.com.
Yeah, very cool.
Stupid, funny, cool, interesting, awesome, as f- never mind. AF.
Anti-gun group plagiarized female shooters. California-based nonprofit, 97% is spelt out, took its name from a debunked poll that claimed 97% of Americans supported mandatory background checks. The group has never addressed polling actual gun owners and instead focuses on quotes from quote-unquote gun owners and non-gun owners that are too perfect to be true. So in other words, clearly written by a marketing person. The group is 100% anti-gun, but pretends to be middle ground and have gun owners involved in order to seem like gun owners, you know, are in favor of gun control. Last Wednesday, ostensibly as part of Women's History Month, they posted tweets featuring images and personal information of 9 female shooters or leaders in the Second Amendment community. While the group made no claims about any of the women being involved in the organization, they're clearly implying that they are supporting their cause given the content posted by the group and their goals. None of the 6 women gave any permission or even interacted with the group until this occurred. And what's crazy is some of them aren't even alive. They posted images of Julie Golub, Rhonda Ezell, Robin Sandoval, Lena Michalek, Kim Rode, Carrie Lightfoot, as well as deceased women like Lucille Ball, Mary Edwards Walker, and Annie Oakley. Julie Golub responded to the Twitter post when she heard about it, clarifying that she did not give the anti-gun group permission to use her likeness or personal information. Shortly after Julie called them out, they deleted all of their posts featuring female shooters. 97%'s executive director did not respond to inquiries, but recent comments from her indicated they support bans on assault weapons, standard capacity mags, permits to purchase and possess firearms, and claims to the Second Amendment, which is overprotected. She's fine with outright plagiarism and falsely implying support of their anti-gun cause, though. Which, I mean, it's so ridiculous. I've been getting a little bit more active on Twitter or X, formerly Twitter. And I don't know. I mean, so one, it's like, it's what I also find interesting is, you know, for these organizations to do stuff like this. But also I've noticed that a lot of representatives are also like doing crappy things like this as well, which you would think that representatives, whether they are Democrat or Republican. And for those who are wondering, I'm actually very much like kind of in the middle. I wouldn't say that I'm like super conservative, but I also, you know, I mean, as far as gun rights, like I'm like, yeah, no compromise. But I think people would be surprised. Yeah. And I think a lot of gun owners are Democrats. But anyway, so whether it's representatives who are Democrats or Republicans, I mean, the things that they say and the things that they do on their X accounts is just so unprofessional. And it's like, who even wants to hold any of these people to high regards? You know, I mean, I'm not bashing, like a lot of the Republicans haven't done that, but I don't know. It's just crazy to me. Anyways, I just regret drinking the political Kool-Aid because I am so tied into this stuff now and fighting the fight. And it's just like, it's exhausting, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, it's time to wrap up. Unfortunately, there was no iTunes reviews today, but definitely leave those reviews. It's pretty easy to do so, especially if you have an iPhone. Go to the podcast app, search for Gun Funny, scroll to the bottom, click on reviews, and you can leave a review. And then if you guys want to find any of my stuff, just head on over to gunfunny.com. There's links for everything there. Also, if you want to support the show, consider becoming a Patreon. You automatically get access to our Facebook group, which is only for Patreons. It's a lot of fun. I joke around quite a bit in there. So if you guys get offended easily, maybe don't join because nobody there takes themselves seriously. But it's also, you know, has good information as well. And then you could do so by just going to gunfunny.com, click on the support the show link. Also wanted to thank the $25 Patreons who are Sake Holsters, Daniel Treadwell, Keith Callamore, Daniel Lee, Nick Theodosian, Tristan Smith, Melissa Ridings, William Knave, and Patrick Comer. And then, of course, King of the Patreon, who is Jon Snow. And Joel, thank you once again. Thanks so much for coming on, talking about Align Tactical. You guys are doing some really great stuff over there and really, really your passion. Can you just remind people once again what your website is and then where they can find you on social media?
Yes. So you can go to www.aligntactical.com for the website. On social media, you can, we're on Instagram with the handle Align Tactical. And while not as active on Facebook, we'll probably need to get back in there. That's a whole other ball of worms, you know, with trying to fight social media, you know, being extremely leftist and constantly, you know, taking down material or penalizing. So it's an uphill battle. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for that. And guys, I will talk to you next week. We're out of here.
Want to send feedback? Tell us about a company or anything else. Go to gunfunny.com/contact.